body you get. Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Brought to you by WealthMoney.org. Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh are your hosts. This is the only program that addresses the destructive consequences of using a debt money system. Financial slavery is the result when all money is created and put into circulation through loans. How interest grows the debt, but not the money supply, and the effects that interest and debt has on our lives. If you would like to join the program and have a question or a comment, please call 347-884-9499. That's 347-884-9499. And now your hosts, Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Good morning. It's Saturday, September 14th. This is Wealth Money Radio. Our website is wealthmoney.org. I'm Greg Soderbergh, and I'm here with Byron Dale. And we'd like to talk to you. And if you want to talk, give us a call, 347-884-9499. And I guess it all boils down to is how do we create a debt-free medium of exchange and put it into circulation in a manner that benefits everyone? And it's quite a few years ago, Byron thought, well, the Constitution says Congress is to provide post offices and post roads. They're supposed to create money. And one of the things you're supposed to do is promote the general welfare. So he came up with the great idea that we simply have the Treasury create the money and spend it to pay for building our roads and bridges. And that would be in replacing taxing and borrowing. We wouldn't have to tax and borrow anymore to build these roads. And it would promote the general welfare because it would provide for a debt-free medium of exchange whereby we could be free to prosper in our production. We could save, and it would keep us free economically and free in the spirit and intent of this nation. So that's what we'd like to do, and basically just get the darn American Transportation Act passed and start making life better for everyone and set a great example for the rest of the world, because, gosh, I think that's what America is supposed to be doing. Don't you think that's what we're supposed to be doing, Byron?
Well, that's what they keep telling us all the time anyway, that we're the leader of the free world, but we don't seem to lead too well. In fact, it seems to be just kind of the other way, and especially now with the far-left liberals. Well, man, I listened to their debate the other day, and, man, one guy brought up the Constitution, and, man, he really got tore into by all the rest of them. Well, we don't have to pay any attention to the Constitution or anything else. When we get into power, we can just do whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like communism.
That's the problem we have, because we have got so many people that don't believe. And I was on Facebook this morning. There was a guy that wrote that the Constitution no longer applies because some lawyer gave a speech to the Senate and said, well, we're not bound by the Constitution anymore. Now, I didn't know that the Constitution could be changed by just some lawyer getting up and giving a speech in the Congress. I thought that had to be done only by amendments. And
yep.
We've never amended away the Constitution. And people like that kind of scare me.
Well, they don't have any. They're breaking the separation of powers. You know, the judicial has no authority to create, amend, or repeal law. Unfortunately, the American people have let the judicial branch have complete liberty to do whatever the hell they want to do. And they bow down to judges' opinions. They think when a judge says something that all of a sudden it's a new law. And, you know, and maybe that's why we're in the condition we're in, because the American people haven't been taught the Constitution, the difference in our constitutional republic. There's a lot of republics. Ours is our constitutional republic was written and created differently from any other, and it included separation of powers and a whole bunch of other things, boundaries, but boundaries that enabled us to stay as free as possible. But then we actually have to blame the citizenry in this country for allowing them to break the boundaries and blend the powers. You know, we had that economist on that one time. I think he was a constitutional expert. And he said that, well, we do blend the powers from time to time. And I'm thinking, like, well, you know, is that like a smoothie or something when you blend them together like that? And what the hell do you get? You know, it's like when they say you got to compromise. Well, you know, Byron, let's say you got a clean glass of water and a dirty glass of water, but somehow we're just not getting along, so we have to compromise and we have to put them together. So you put the clean water with the dirty water, and what do you get? Dirty water. There has to be boundaries that keep things separated. It's like the difference between right and wrong. Well, in order to get along, we have to blend right and wrong. And doesn't that seem like where we're at in the nation today? There is no morality or ethics anymore. I'm sorry, I went off on that rant, but it just...
Well, you're basically true, and it all started with George Washington and Hamilton, because George Washington liked Hamilton and thought he was smart, and I think he was probably a very intelligent individual, but he wouldn't, you know, in spite of all the writings he did about what the Constitution was going to do, he didn't actually believe it or work on it, because it was clear that he violated the Constitution right off the bat. Because the Constitution clearly back in those days said that Congress shall coin the money. And they right away, I mean, the next year, they passed a bill that said, go out and find any gold or silver, you could bring it into the mint, and they would mint it and basically monetize it, turn it into money and by stamping it into money, and that would be the money. Well, but the year before that, Hamilton had already screwed it all up by getting them to vote in that we could have a bank that could create the money, and he had to know that was totally unconstitutional. But
well,
again, he took the very attitude and knew that Hamilton or George Washington and those people had really no really understanding about how the money system worked, or how the banking system worked, as I should say, is how the banking system worked. So he said, well, you know, you guys can all get rich, because if there's a lot of money out there that now because states had created money, churches created money, all this, you know, the Library of Congress had created money, and they just, you know, didn't pay any attention to the fact that that's unconstitutional. And, of course, it's easy to understand, because most of those people come from England, and England had a debt money system taken over, but it was taken over by the banks in 1694, and these people never understood that. So they had no real understanding of what was going to happen in the future once you let the bankers be the ones to create the money and not the government itself for the benefit of the people. And that's where we started wrong. And then after that, they just went ahead and didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the Constitution anyway. And, of course, the people didn't hold them responsible for that and vote them out all the time. They just let them stay in forever as long as they talk good. And that's where our whole problem began. And now we're trying years and years and years later try to get people to understand why we have all the problems. You know, it's pretty obvious if you think about it. Why does the government have to borrow, period, when they have the Bureau of Printing and Engraving, the print currency, and they have and they also have the Bureau of Mint to print the mint coins. So why in the world would they ever need to borrow when they could print their own currency? And everybody knows that, but nobody stopped to think, well, after they print it, they don't spend it, they just sell it to the banks and let them then put it in circulation as interest-bearing debt. Now go ahead, Greg.
Well, I want to go back to where the people say that, you know, we're supposed to use gold and silver for money, and, you know, we had free coins for a while whereby basically the government monetized the people's production as a wealth to them. They had a debt-free medium of exchange. And, you know, but then the banks started creating money. Now, for the gold nuts and the silver nuts and all that, you got to ask yourself, well, when the banks created money, did they create gold and silver coins? No, they created pieces of paper. So right there, it goes to show that in the very beginning, that the authority, the power to create money, you know, it doesn't hold that it had to be just gold or silver, because what they actually did was something entirely different than what gold and silver nuts say they were supposed to do.
Well, you're absolutely right. And when they started letting the banks do it, then why in the world, what was the object of having the government do it? And they already did that a year before they actually passed a bill for the government to coin money. And then you see it a lot. There's a guy I know, I've met him personally, and he does a lot of writing about how we got to use all gold and silver, but he always goes to the 10th Amendment. I mean, you know, Article 1, Section 810, but it only deals with the states. It doesn't deal with the federal government. So, yes, the states clearly are bound by that, but the federal government, it's clear if you read it, it was all about the states. It was not about the federal government. And then the federal government, it says, well, they just create money or coin money. They didn't go into any definitions of what money was or anything else. I have never been able to find any place in the Constitution where it gave a definition of money. And I think that was on purpose, too, because the banks already knew they was in power. So why would they let things like go on and that would destroy their power? I mean, people just don't do those kind of things without a lot of pressure from someplace else to make them do it. And that's the problem we have. And now we've got to the point where, and Rule will talk about that just a little bit, we don't seem to have any concept of what is really true or what the facts are anymore. And
well,
I'll let him get into that and discuss that in just a few minutes.
Well, I think it really boils down, people need to understand, and we've said it before, we'll say it again, it's really not a matter of metal versus paper or gold versus silver. It's a matter of wealth versus debt. American people have to ask themselves, you know, do they want to be in debt constantly, a debt that can never be paid, that constantly grows so that they can have money to spend, or do they want to have a debt-free medium of exchange? A medium of exchange that represents the production of this nation and what we own and our freedom. That's the issue. You know, I don't care what it is, but I don't want to have to be in debt to get it, and I don't want you to have to be in debt to get it. I want anybody to have to be in debt to someone to get this money. And that's what that's what the American Transportation Act would do, is provide for a debt-free medium of exchange that come into circulation as a payment when we build these roads and bridges. And that gets right down to it, really.
Well, you know that people don't want debt, because you're always hearing them screaming now about how deep you get in debt before you get a college degree. You know, unbelievable figures. And they know once they get out of college and start having to deal with reality, not just a bunch of bullshit that the college professors put out, they find out, wait a minute, this interest is killing me. I can't earn enough money to pay the interest on my college, you know, debt. Well, now they're just getting started, and you know, most of the time you don't get to start out with having a big job at the head of the company. You have to start at the bottom and work your way up. And mostly it isn't what you do, it's who you know, how fast you move up and what you do. And so these things, are never addressed, but this is what it's all about, is whether you want to have debt and love it, or whether you want to have no debt and then have money without debt that you can now keep, and you don't have to pay a lot of money, your income out to pay interest all the time and try to get rid of some of your debt. And they find out it's almost impossible. I worked with a woman not too long ago that said, well, that she was no way in heck that she could survive and pay her interest on her college debt so she could have a job in the first place. Well, and see, these are the things that we really need to get people to understand, that we have a real problem here, and it's a problem that we let Hamilton do, and George Washington went along with it with no objection. Of course, I doubt if he had any concept of what it was really going to lead to. I've only read about one person, and that was a guy from Georgia, a Jackson, that said, well, that may not seem so bad now. We only owe a few million, but what it's going to be like in a century, how much debt we're going to have. And all you have to do is go on the computer and look up the debt clock, and you find out how much debt we've got.
Yeah, and how that affects your cost of living. And, you know, to these students that are whining and crying about their student debt, I'm sorry, you paid out all that money and you never learned anything about money. You never learned, you know, where it come from, how you get it so you can pay your tuition. You never learned where it goes. You never learned anything about it. And all I can say is, they welcome to economic servitude, and they should read the book we wrote called Education and Our Debtonomy, and it deals with all how the money works, but also at the same time talks about what you have not been taught, what you paid all the big bucks for. As a matter of fact, what you borrowed all the big bucks for, and the big bucks you borrowed, the bank simply created those numbers and put them in an account for you, and you spent them, but you owed for them. It was something the banks didn't have till they created it. And there again, really, we're supposed to use gold or silver for money, yet everybody's just letting the banks create these numbers, and we borrow the numbers from the banks. So these students need to not put out another penny for education until they get educated on the money. But so I don't. Is Rule hanging around? Does he want to talk about anything?
Yeah, Rule, and that's what I was going to say. I was going to bring him up in just a few minutes because he would. Well, I'm not going to talk about it. I'll let he talk about it. But I thought it was pretty interesting. We talked a little bit before the show started, and I thought what he was saying was quite interesting. So I'll just turn it over to him, and we'll go from there.
Morning, Rule.
Good morning, Greg. I was telling Byron, and hopefully those out there are listening, you know, in a time of, for the last three days, I've been focused on just what is truth, how do you define truth in a politically correct environment where just by someone making the statement, these verbiage is like Burger King removing the word ham from hamburger because it's offensive to Muslims. In a politically correct society, what is truth? And is just truth now just based upon an emotion, or what is it? You know, in the last 4 years, we've watched, this email thing with the Clintons, the Mueller investigation, everybody supposedly going after the truth, but never able to find it. And now you have a public awareness coming to light that people want to know what is money, what is the truth here, and why is it so criminal to want to do an investigation into probe into actual wealth money, I guess. Take that a step further. You know, I served on a court hearing a year ago. It was one of the most grotesque court hearings. I asked to be dismissed. It was too gross for me to participate, but they wouldn't let me. And one of the things was, well, even in the midst of it being emotionally draining and everything, can you still at least tell the can you be non judgmental or non-partial and tell the truth. And then, of course, everybody has to swear an oath to tell the truth, whatever, and all this stuff. And so the reality is we as people are held at a higher level than our government officials that are supposed to be our servants, not the other way around. We're told that we have to. And by the way, you know, when you fill out a so-called, and I say so-called because that's what it is, a tax return, it's actually a public confession. You're signing at the bottom saying that you hereby swear this is true, whatever, for penalties of perjury. We're supposed to tell the truth. But boy, if you tell the truth about the money issue, for some reason, it just becomes politically incorrect in this upside down world. And that's what we were talking about. And actually, is truth really that dangerous? And political correctness, when it takes the forefront like it's doing in America, it's time to put the brakes on and really take a look at it, because it's the worst form of tyranny you can enter into, because you lose the ability to think and reason. And so those are some of the things that I've been thinking about. And the reality is we don't know what a dollar is. We have debt. We don't want debt. And why can't we get out of debt? It's our duty. And those serving us, we should be able to, we should be running the show. They're our servant, supposedly. If anybody should be a servitude, it should be them, not us.
Yep.
And of course, I long time ago, I was in this, doing the kind of the same thing, and I had a guy tell me, well, truth is just what you say it is, but facts are what actually is. I mean, that's what actually it is. It's a fact that's the way it is. It's a fact that a good horse has four legs. I don't care what you sell you about him, but that's a fact. Now, the truth may be that you find one once in a while without a leg, so he only has three, but that doesn't change the fact that a good horse has four legs. And see, this is the problem we have with the and like he's talking about, everybody in court has to swear to tell the truth, but the lawyers don't, and they lie all the time. I mean, I've been in court an awful lot, and I guarantee you they lie a lot. The judge don't give a rip, and they lie. And I have proved they lied, and it didn't make a bit of difference, because as one attorney general told me, every word that comes out of the mouth of a judge is the law. And that's an absolute false statement. It's not true at all. Judges wasn't given the power to create law. Congress was, but not judges. And as Greg said earlier, nowadays, if everybody believes whatever the judge says is the law, you have to go by it. And if you don't, well, he'll send somebody in the executive branch out to get you, which they shouldn't even do that, because they ought to know that the judge has no authority to say what the law is. He can only give me an opinion who right and wrong. And originally, the whole concept of a court was, when two people are arguing about what is right or what it should be, then, and they couldn't decide, then you go to court and the judge, he decides which one is right. Or the jury. In fact, most of the time it was supposed to be a jury that did, a jury of your peers, people who probably knew you. And all that's gone away now. And see, this is the biggest problem we face, because we have absolutely refused in this country to pay any attention to the Constitution. And then we have idiots like that guy that put it on Facebook that said, well, this lawyer come in and said that we're not bound by the Constitution anymore, because something in the group that think they're, you know, all the countries get together and have that thing. I can't think of this name right now, but, you know, they said that, therefore that made truth. And see, our country isn't supposed to be run by any other country. They can't make laws that bind us. That's totally unconstitutional. But see, the problem of it is we don't nobody's taught to read the Constitution and really think about it. In fact, I see a lot of that right now in Facebook, because a lot of people now on Facebook is arguing about the Second Amendment, whether you have the right to bear guns or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, they come up with all kinds of reasons that don't make sense of why you can't have that right when it clearly says you can. And the whole concept, they passed that right after we just had a big war with England, who was trying to dominate us, and we didn't want it. Well, obviously, they did that, and I looked it up in the 1800 dictionary. Basically, everybody was to have guns, and a lot of people, they also was not part of the military because they weren't actually military, but they would go to meetings and discuss it once a month, and then the rest of the time they just did what they did, whatever they did, and they was all supposed to have their guns with them. And of course, back in those days, they was also fighting a lot with the Indians, which you can argue that a lot of way too, because if we're such a great country, why did we come in and just kill all the Indians off and run them off? We didn't attempt to buy them off or anything else, or work out some kind of agreement on who really did own that land. And I think about this a lot when we have all these illegal immigrants. When you have a legal immigrant, he has to go through a school and he has to take a test and a course on the Constitution and swear he'll uphold by it. But illegal ones don't. So when all these people started coming from England and other places and took all this land that the Indians had up to that point in time, they basically just took over. Well, are we going to sit around on our duffs until we get so many illegals that they just take over our country? That's what happened before. I mean, it's clear that's what happened. Are we going to sit around and now let them do the same thing all these years later because they want to get out of their country, which... most of them are socialists or dictators, and our Democrats, they want that same kind of government here now, and we're just going to sit around on a duff and let enough illegals, not people that come in legally, to where they can take over the country because there's so many of them, and people don't think about any of this kind of stuff. It's just like their minds don't work. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, Byron, is the illegal thing is can be a domestic threat. But, you know, when you got lawyers running around saying, we don't go by the Constitution, we don't have to do that anymore, I call those people just as dangerous as the illegals. They're already here, they're legal, and they're domestic enemies. And there's, you know, the same way with all the socialists in the country. And the farther to the left you go from being a Democrat to a socialist to a communist to who knows what. But, you know, we're supposed to protect and defend from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And America has got to wake up, if there's anything left of it, to awaken and understand that we're not going to be taken over by foreign enemy somewhere far, far away. It's going to happen from the inside out. And what we're talking about today, the not following the law, not following the Constitution and the boundaries and all that, you can see it. It's already happening within. We're going to have an election coming up here, I guess, we're going to get a new president, and life will be so much better then. But anyway, they're going to have a new president, and you know, they got a guy named Bernie Sanders who's a declared socialist, which is not a constitutional republic form of government, running for office, let alone, and you got all kinds of people that support him. These are people that are domestic enemies that want to get rid of a thing called our constitutional republic. This is the kind of thing that we send military people out to destroy because we have a fear that they're going to take our nation, steal our nation, change it. And yet we sit here and we let it get eroded from the inside out. And
well,
it's just
Greg,
a shame.
Again, what you said is true. Them lawyers like that are actually worse than other people because more people will listen to them. Because the average illegal immigrant couldn't go into Congress and talk to the Congress. And then you have these other idiots who are willing to believe what that lawyer said. Because the United Nations said, well, it was this other way. Well, I'm sorry, but there's nothing in our Constitution that says United Nations can make our laws.
Yep.
But he's an idiot enough to say that, well, this lawyer said that, so therefore it must be true, and you can find this in Charter 55 and 56 in the United Nations. Well, since when did the United Nations have the constitutional authority to make law in this country?
Well, the United
Nations. And I see no place that we can give them that kind of authority either.
Right. It kind of blends in with globalism, you know. We teach our students that it's a global economy, and of course, you know what we get with a global economy, all the bickering and crap we got going on now. So to go on the global economy, well, then that means you got to have global laws too, right? That means you got to have somebody like the United Nations telling everybody what to do, forcing our military people to wear the uniform or the patch on their uniform when all those soldiers took an oath to defend the United States of America and not work for the United Nations. And, so you got that going on too.
Well, because the pure and simple thing is they have just refused to pay any attention to the Constitution, and we're seeing the consequences of it. And that's really treason. But you don't have, you know, we have a brand new attorney general, but he don't seem to be doing a damn thing. Now, he may. I've heard that some things he's talking about it. But, you know, there ought to be, a lot of these people ought to be arrested for treason. There is no question.
Absolutely.
If you're telling us that we got to change, and Bernie Sanders is really clear, he's trying to start a whole brand new movement will change the whole entire thing in the United States. Well, that's treason on its face, and he open admission that it's treason.
Well, you know,
I mean, he should be tried and put in jail for treason.
You remind me what, like Bernie. Well, like Bernie, if you got such great ideas and you want to implement them, well, don't implement them here in the United States. There's plenty of countries out there that need improving. Why don't you go to one of those countries and show them how good it works? What do you got to come in here and destroy what we have for? You know?
Well, he states that what he's trying to do is what a lot of other countries do. But see, none of those countries have a United States Constitution that's supposed to be the supreme law of the land. And I have never seen any place where they amended that or changed that. In fact, one guy at least was honest enough to say, well, like the Second Amendment, that's old and out of date now, so we should amend it. Well, that's one thing, but these people aren't talking about amending it. One guy that was running for president on the Democratic thing said if he got to be president, he would go take all. And since when do they have the right to do that? That's a total violation of the Constitution. That's a violation of the country. That's why we're supposed to be able to keep our guns, so those kind of people can't do that to us.
Well, and there again, how come, it seems okay for the military to have guns and use them against whatever they want to? And where is our military? Where are our veterans standing up against this sort of thing? They should see that, you know, somebody like that is a threat to our nation. I don't understand why veterans, active or inactive, why they don't still want to preserve, protect, and defend their country just because their uniform is off. I mean, clearly people are saying and doing things that are treasonous towards this country, warring against this country, detrimental to this country, and everybody just sits around and I don't understand it, you know. But I would like to talk about.
Well, part of it too. They're not sitting around and doing, and not as much as we. I mean, there's a lot more people working to not let it change than we know about. But our problem is the press won't cover any of those. The press only covers the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
For example, this AOC or whoever, you know, that's from New York. It's a new House member. Well, how come she only gets press and hardly anybody else does? And she comes up with the most nonsensical things anybody's ever heard of. I mean, can you imagine? They're flying around in planes, but yet they say that we need to get rid of all the planes. We get rid of all the cars. And we got to, you know, one of the things half of them addressed when I was listening to the Democratic thing was, you know, we got to do this global warming thing. And I can't understand how anybody could determine whether we have global warming or whether we don't. Because we're having the coldest early September I've ever seen in my entire life. Okay, but then also, if we got summer up here, down south of the Continental Divide, they have winter when we have summer. When they have summer, we have winter. So how in the world would you possibly tell whether you was having a change in that or not?
Well, there's
I looked up global warming, or not global warming, but climate change, and the definition of that was global warming. So we're talking about something that nobody really could have a clue whether it's happened or whether it's not. Now, if you use global climate change is actually a change in the climate, you can see that. But when I actually went online and asked what that meant, they clearly said that meant global warming. So see, they've used words that they don't even use the definition right on the words to make us believe things, and that's half of them Democrats. That was their big concern, was global warming. And it's nonsense. I mean, there is no way that you could possibly have it determined whether that was happening or not.
You're talking about the ideas that get media coverage and these wacky ideas, okay? Well, you know, there's some folks out there that are talking about debt-free money and want to create debt-free money, and, you know, that's pretty wild idea, and no media seems to be covering that. I would think that'd be more important than the environment, but, you know, it would help the environment a lot when you really understand how, when you create the money to build these roads and bridges and spend it in as a payment that people earn for doing the work of how we could build these roads and bridges, you know, in ways that would help the environment, but not just the natural environment, but the social, moral, ethical environment of this country. And, you know, like when you build these roads, you can build them with drainage systems. We know how to do it. We talked about this earlier. I think it was yesterday or something. But, you know, we got the ability. We know how to do stuff. But we're just kind of short of one thing, and the thing is called money. And you can build.
Well, not only that, I have personally talked to the guy that come up with solar panels for roads. And if they did that, they could generate all electricity this country could use, and not have to have any of the other things that they use now to generate electricity. It would all be done from the sun. And then I've had guys said, well, that wouldn't work so much in Minnesota because, you know, Minnesota has a lot of cloudy weather. But if this whole thing, road system, is all blended together, well, it wouldn't have to have the sun come in someplace to make it work. The sun would always shine someplace else, and that would still keep it all the generation of electricity that you needed. And see, nobody talks about this, and none of this makes any press either. But some idiot that don't know, it's clearly she has not a brain what she's talking about, gets all kinds of press.
Plus the fact on this solar business, you know, the people that say it wouldn't work, it's because we're not there yet. We haven't got the money. We haven't had the money to develop the system. For example, it was cloudy in Minnesota, but the thing is they forget is we would improve our storage ability. So we'd be able to store solar energy when we're not using it and use it when the sun isn't shining. Right now, because we haven't had the money to really really get there, it's a problem. But, you know, again, like when you talk about computers, and we've talked about this before too, you know, when IBM built the first computer, I think they call it Big Blue, it was huge. It was a huge computer, and it really didn't do very much, okay? But over time, look at what's happened. When you have the ability to work with those systems and develop those systems, pay for those systems, Now the computers are teeny tiny and they do lots and lots of things. And it's the same way with solar energy because we just haven't been able to work with it. Geothermal, okay, where you can heat these roads naturally and cool them down naturally through geothermal. You know, these roads are the biggest polluters of our water. That's a fact. You can go research it. Because when you think about it, all the vehicles running up and down these roads and what comes off of the vehicles and onto the roads. It's everything from lubricants to corrosives to acids, paint. It just goes on and on. And where does it go now? It comes off to the side of the road and it just goes back into the water table. Well, they built drainage systems where you got rumble strips now, you know, those rumble strips that you fall asleep and go off to the side, it makes a noise and wakes you up, and turn those into drainage systems. And engineers would know better than I about how to exactly do that. But then every so often, that water that drains off would go through a water purification station and be cleaned, and then it could go back into the water. All these things we could build and improve if we didn't have to borrow, be in debt up to our necks and over constantly. And that's what we want to do. And, you know, the bank just creates the numbers when you go in there and they put them in your account. I mean, you know, I know you don't think that that's what they do maybe or that simple, but it is. And then you spend those numbers. And while those numbers exist, the debt grows on them constantly, but the money supply does not. You only can increase the money supply with more borrowing. Well, our U.S. Treasury has computers just as good as any bank does, and probably some pretty good accountants working at the Treasury too, and they can create numbers, and they can spend them, create them and spend them, put them in an account that pays for these roads and bridges, but with no debt. And then you don't have all the fuel taxes just to start with. You don't have the fuel taxes. You don't have the axle taxes, which not only affects how much you pay for gasoline, but also affects what you pay for products on the shelf, because you pay for all that with freight charges. The person that you're buying stuff from, he got to add his freight charges into the prices, so it helped with pricing that way too. And I could go on and on, but maybe you or Rule want to talk about what would happen if we did this.
Well, that's what I was going to just do is bring Rule in to see his comments on this. Go ahead, Rule.
Well, yeah. You know, the reality is, I think we're getting to is you know, we have to switch gears to rather than having debt one, well, just to give you an example, here in our own town, I was driving through town last night, and right by the courthouse, and my front end went into 7-inch deep. I got up, measured, took a picture. I got right outside the courthouse, hit a pothole, and I thought, oh, you know, it couldn't break my front end. So I got out, and I backed up, and boy, I was mad. And I took a look over the courthouse, and you know, saw all these cars and all these employees and new vehicles and whatnot. And I looked down at this pothole and I thought, boy, you know, and then I got to driving around town and they're just everywhere. And, you know, we have vehicles, we have jobs, all this stuff, but we can't fix our streets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it looks like a war zone here, really.
Well, you know, Rule, you got UPS and FedEx and running around delivering all them products and everything, and then potholes, they put wear and tear on those vehicles, and, you know, so UPS and FedEx, they got to get the vehicles fixed. They have to replace worn-out parts, and then what they do with that cost is they add it on to the cost of shipping and freight, so your products cost you more, and if these roads were built better, there wouldn't be as much wear and tear on your commercial vehicles, and again, that would lower the cost of goods and services because, you know, it would be less costly repairs and maintenance to all the delivery stuff. Does that make any sense?
Well, yeah, and since you bring that up, let's just talk a little bit about UPS and our postal system. You know, it's kind of fun, comical, but it's really not, because as I was out taking a picture of that pothole, a UPS truck drove by, and it sounded like the muffler fell off some time ago. And it was like, it sounded like something just chugging along, just like that, missing, you know. And if you listen to most of the postal vehicles going by, you can even see mufflers hanging down, and they sound like they're on their last leg. And and you can't make this stuff up. They can't even take the time or affordability to maintain their vehicles.
Boy.
Well, and most of them have to borrow the money to maintain their vehicles and to buy their vehicles, and that means interest, and that means you're going to add the interest to the cost of money, the cost of products they're doing. You know, they're going to cost so much to deliver mail, and they're going to have that price in there too, so that's got to go up. I don't know exactly what it costs to mail a letter anymore. The last one I mailed, it cost me $10, a little over $10 to mail them. So it's, you know, there is no reason that we need to have postal costs that high. But, see, people don't think about these things, and they never will. Again, the Constitution clearly says that Congress is supposed to provide for a post office and how they operate. Well, they don't seem to do that. They've kind of turned that over to a private company that does that, and they don't even really say it's the post office actually run by government anymore, as I understand it. And then, of course, people also started up things to deliver mail, which you were just talking about, because they thought they could do it better than the post office. And it all comes down to the same thing. Nobody wants to read the Constitution and say, well, let's do what we can do that will benefit everyone. That's what the preamble of the Constitution says. That's clearly what it says, why they created the Constitution and what they're trying to do with this country. But I've had people tell me, well, that really don't apply. That's not really part of the Constitution, because that's just a preamble. Well, wait a minute. The very article that says why they're doing it and how they what they want to accomplish by it should be just as much a part of it as any other thing.
It's kind of like the name of a book. You know, it's like what they're saying is you really don't need the cover of the book.
No, because it's not has anything to do with the book.
And then you got to ask those people, okay, well, if we're not going by the Constitution, what the hell are we going by? Tell me, show me the roadmap, show me the compass. If we're not going by the Constitution, show me what we are going by. And
well,
of course,
we're going by what the biggest loudmouth people are talking about, and what's covered by the press. They're the ones that are setting up what we're going to do in this country. Has nothing to do with the Constitution. In fact, the one guy, Biden, he brought up the Constitution and said, well, you can't do that because of the Constitution. And the rest of them got after him, really after him, for even bringing up the concept of having a Constitution that made any difference.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get that, that is clearly open, verbal treason.
Yep.
And that nobody does anything about it. They don't arrest anybody. They don't charge anybody. It's just because our court system isn't worth a damn. It's just a bunch of crooks. There's no question about that. One of them the other day was on television, and he was sitting there rolling his hands, and he said, well, this is all about the Constitution. Well, then why don't they make rulings that the Constitution says this, and therefore you can't do that?
Well, it's funny,
but they
we
don't
were talking
to do that either.
We were talking about it yesterday, I think, but they have a tendency to call this thing the criminal justice system. And when you think about it, it really has two interpretations. And when you think about the fact that the judicial system is criminal, then the name criminal justice system fits, because it is. What they're doing in the judicial system is criminal. And, you know, when are we going to start building a nation that we won't have all, you know, when are we going to start doing what the preamble says we're supposed to do, is promote domestic tranquility. We're not doing that, that's for sure. We're creating domestic contention and chaos, completely opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. And again, I think it all comes back to this medium of exchange. And, you know, if you could create all the money and everybody had to come to you and get it and be in debt to you for it, what would be your limitations? You know, would
well,
you
there's
be
no
just
limitation
some,
to what they can create.
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah.
One guy said, well, you just can't have the government create the money. They'd create too much. And I said, well, if that's the case, then why don't you get upset at how much money the government, the banks are creating? Well, I never hear anybody worrying about how much money they create. But if
and
the government creates it without debt, then that could be a very serious thing. And I have a letter here from a guy that said I was a good speaker and charismatic guy and everything, and I was right. Well, not right on all things, because you couldn't have the government create the money, because they would create way too much money. In fact, they might even build a road just so they could create more money. And see, that goes to show you that guy has never thought it out.
Right.
Of course, he's a member of another group of people that don't believe, you know, it's called it something George thing, and I've read all the literature on it, and my God, it was a guy who didn't have a clue what he was talking about. You know, and not that I know everything, but I've spent 36 years at least just trying to understand how the monetary system works. And
I think that's a big problem, Byron, is that historically, no one seems to have been able to figure out how to create money and put it into circulation in a way so that, like, this guy is afraid that there'd be too much money, okay? But how would that happen? They don't think about, and we have, and especially you have, with the American Transportation Act, the principles of how to create money and put it into circulation when there isn't, without there being too much, and without it being in a debt, and without it destroying our cost of living and our purchasing power. And this is the key, you know, it gets back to, it's not a matter of metal versus paper, gold versus silver. It's a matter of wealth versus debt. It's a matter of how you're going to create money and how to put it into circulation in a manner that benefits everyone. And those principles you have employed in the American Transportation Act. And we've talked about it before. If there was no money, what would we trade or exchange with each other? And the only answer is we would trade and exchange what we produced, whether it be a hard product, good, or a service. Now, you're going to have a medium of exchange. Wouldn't that medium of exchange represent those things, your products and services? And before you had a medium of exchange, when you traded your goods and services, you didn't have to be in debt to the other guy. You produced what you produced, and you traded to the other guy, and he traded to you. There's no debt involved, and that's the way the money needs to work. And, you know, it's just that even back when Hamilton and them guys, whether Hamilton knew he was screwing over everybody or not, and the people that passed the 1792 Coinage Act, whether they really knew what they were doing or not, I don't know. But that's the key, is how do you create it, put it into circulation in a manner that benefits everyone and not in a way that harms most everybody. Don't you think, Byron?
Well, from my research, it's clear Hamilton knew what he was doing. As I understand it, I've researched him as all I could, that he was an orphan of some sort, and life was tough, and then a banker family picked him up and got him into the business, and man, his life got a lot better, and he clearly had a better understanding, and I'm sure he probably also had a better understanding of accounting than the average person, because the average person in those days was probably farmers or, you know, other people that run businesses, stores, and stuff like that. And back in those days, that's what it was. So he probably did have a greater understanding of what he was really doing than anybody else there. And I'm quite sure from all the things I've heard about George Washington, if he'd really understood what the heck was going to happen, he wouldn't have went along with it either. But I don't think he had any real knowledge of that.
I know for a fact
that most of them come from England, and England had a debt-based money system, and none of them seem to have any problem with that one. Go ahead.
So do you think that Hamilton actually knew how to create and put money into circulation in a way that benefited everyone, but he wanted to do it the other way? I don't think he did.
Well, I don't think he probably thought about that. He just knew the benefit the banks get from doing it. And he had been after he had been picked up with the bankers, that's all he learned was how banking works.
So I haven't researched the authors of the 1792 Coinage Act. These were the folks that got this bill passed that said, you know, if anybody brought gold or silver to our mint, mint would weigh it, assay it, and stamp it into coins free of charge, thereby creating a debt-free medium of exchange from the person's production, and they had a debt premium. So I haven't researched all that, but do you think those folks understood the principles they were dealing with?
No. I think basically now, as I understand it, Jefferson, he did a lot of research on that, and there was another guy, his name was, I don't remember now, but he had figured out that if they made money a certain thing, a certain value, then that would be the same with everybody. But Jefferson said yes, but the trouble with that is that would take a lot of math. How in the world would a couple of guys making a deal out in the backyard or out in the pasture, how would they do that math? I mean, how could they possibly do that math? Because it was a huge decimal system thing. And it was and Jefferson said, wouldn't it be a whole lot better if we just made it like the current coin we now knew now, now, which is a Spanish mill dollar, which was a silver, and it wasn't done by tenths, it was done by eighths. But why don't we just do it by tenths? Because math by tenths is a lot easier to do than any other. You're out in the middle of the pasture talking to the neighbor, and you decide to, you know, sell your bull to him, or he wants to buy it or whatever. Well, it's a lot easier to do that math in tens than it is in eights. And that's what got this thing started. And, of course, at that time, the most known coin was the Spanish mill dollar. And most of that probably came from pirates, because that silver was flowing from South America up to back to Spain, and of course the pirates, and I guess a lot of the pirates who was Englishmen, was stealing that, and I'm sure that a lot of that moved into the United States, you know, after they stole it, because once you steal it, you're not going to deliver it to Spain, you're going to deliver it to someplace else, and it has no benefit to you if you don't do something with it to get something that you want, a bigger boat or a party drinking for a week or something like that. So that money had to move to someplace. That's why it got in the United States. And obviously at that time, they was moving a lot of silver. And some of it was in coins, but most of it wasn't. But it still represented the same thing in the Spanish mill dollar. And there's a guy who wrote a whole lot about that. And that's why he based his whole theory on why we had to have gold and silver in this country. But what I say is that may have been true, but the Constitution doesn't say that.
Right.
And are we now going to go by what the Constitution says and what those words meant? And I had a guy said, what did it mean back in that time? So I have an 1800 dictionary, so I looked it up. And I do that quite a little bit to see, well, what did it mean back then? And this is the only way that you can interpret the Constitution. You have to know, and it has to mean what the words mean. And the truth is, most of those words mean the same thing now as they did then, although now we have a whole lot more words than we did then, because we got people that make up new words. And you, Greg, have done that yourself, because that's what you call
it's a deuteronomy.
Yeah, there you go. So now you have a brand new word that's in the system that didn't exist before.
And
so,
you know what, Byron?
There's no way we can go back. Just a minute, Greg. There's no way we can go back to the 18th dictionary and get the definition of that word. And it's the same way with capitalism. I have looked in that dictionary for the word capitalism, and you can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
you know, you have to take all these things into consideration when you're talking about it. And then, back at that time, what had just happened that they wanted you to have a right to bear guns? Part of them was because, you might get killed by the Indians, you might get killed by bears, all kinds of things if you didn't have something to protect yourself. And I'm sure back in those days, there was also people who would just naturally seize because they were too lazy to work, so they said, well, we'll just steal it, it's easier. And so you have to have a way to protect yourself from those things. Well, we have it now, and one of the biggest things you have to protect yourself now is our court system, our sheriffs. In town here in Minneapolis, they had a guy that come out, and they say they had he had a knife. So they shot him 25 times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't need to shoot a person 25 times to kill him. I mean, if you do, you're a whale of a poor shot. Well, then, at the same time, a little bit later, they had two guys, a man and woman, that had killed somebody, apparently, and they was after him, and they fled from New York to Arizona. And they found him in Arizona, and the guy then, he didn't argue when they first arrested him, but when they started to handcuff him stuff, he did, so they just tased him. So then he couldn't resist, and then they handcuffed him. Well, now all these cops in this town couldn't figure out how to just haze the guy. They just opened up and shot him 25 times. Now,
well, you
see,
know why that
gets
is.
To be. No, I
you
don't.
You know why that? Well, it's because they were on their way to target practice anyway, and this way they thought they'd kill two birds with one stone.
Well, I'll take that for your word, but I have no way of proving that or anything else.
Well, you know,
I guarantee you, I can't read minds, so I don't know what they thought.
You talk about,
but just the concept.
You talk about the words they mean, and we're getting back to Congress show coin the money, okay? And when I coined the term deadonomy, okay, I did not wind up with a piece of metal. I coined the word, which means create. When you coin something, it's a verb. To coin means to create. You can create. You can coin a phrase. You can coin leather. I even heard somebody the other day. I forget. It was kind of unusual that they had coined something. And so for all those folks out there that think it has to be a piece of metal, wrong. It means create.
Well,
and
see,
that's
the whole concept. You have to decide whether that word was used back in those days. Was it used as a noun or a verb? And as I understand it, I don't claim to be no English professor, but a noun is a thing or a person. A verb is an action. Well, if you're going to coin money, that clearly has to be an action of some kind. Cause now, if you'd have said coin coins, now you could understand it because they was going to create coins. But if you just say coin money, then that has to be an action because you're going to do something.
Yep.
It can't be a thing or a person. So these are simple little things if you just pay a little attention. And I've had people agree with me and tell me that, you know, that had greater education than I did in English, that there's no question but that's true. But, you know, one thing that I have a little more than most people is a really basic sense of right and wrong and what has to be right and what has to be wrong and what things really actually are like in reality. And I find a lot of people that don't seem to have that. And they just go on doing what they're doing and never stop to think about what the real consequences of this would be. For example,
well,
now they're talking a lot about now this kid smoking these artificial cigarettes.
Yeah,
well, I guess they got a nice flavor that tastes good, but don't any of them sit back and think, well, what's this going to be the consequences long term? You can't keep sucking things into your lungs that don't belong and not expect to have a consequence.
Well, sure, and so all them cigarettes were created so that somebody could capture some more of that lone principle out there. That's all it was about. It wasn't created.
Absolutely.
And that's what most of our activity out there is about, is capturing more lone principle And, you know, we get back to the principles of creating money in a way, putting it in circulation, it benefits everyone. And there's only one people, this Wealth Money Group, Wealth Money Radio, and WealthMoney.org, that have thought it through and put it down in legislative form that you can understand and that principally works. There's other plans out there. There was a positive money plan. I don't hear much about it anymore. It was an English-British plan. There's a Kucinich plan. If you ever read both of them or either of them, they're so convoluted, and clearly those people have not thought out about how to put money into circulation in a way that benefits everyone. And, you know, this is what it gets down to, is how are we going to do that so that we can have liberty and justice for all and have America back and make it a great country, a free country. And this, you can get a copy of the American Transportation Act online at wealthmoney.org. You can read it. You can print it. You can save it as a file that you can email to other people and talk about it. And that's what I would like you to do today when this show is over.
With that, we'll go back to Drew Rule and see what he has to say, because I just see our time is running out, and we're running out of time. So we'll bring Rule in and see what he has to say, and then we'll probably pretty much close the show. Go ahead, Rule.
Yeah, real quick here. To kind of sum things up on my end, this week there was yesterday, young children were let out of school and they stormed Washington, D.C. grounds, and they're demanding action on climate change. Of course, they're not being told, you know, how we're going to pay for it, whatever. And then this week in that New York is a major, it's a UN summit, and they'll be, one of the main topics will be climate change. And a 13-year-old girl from Scotland is going to be speaking there and demanding justice be done, and they're expecting kids to interrupt the whole thing and demand action be taken by the United Nations. And, you know, this is a time people should be vigilant, look for truth, and be asking questions. We're at a critical point, and it all comes back to the money issue. And you know, when you start letting 13-year-olds, you know, on an emotional whatever drive, speak to all these world leaders, that's just, there's something wrong with that. And
absolutely. And just be honest with me, Rule, how would you determine whether you had global warming or not?
I guess just by lying.
Because there's no way that, I mean, I would like to have somebody explain to me how that we know that, whether that's actually happened or not. Now, I know that they say, well, up north it's all melting and all this stuff. And the bears are disappearing. And my wife happened to be on a plane one time, and she was talking to a woman that sat next to her. And the woman said, well, all that is nonsense, because I go to Alaska every year, and I guarantee you the bears aren't disappearing. So, see, now somebody who actually experienced it and been there and knew it from year after year totally disagreed with what they're saying with all these people who never went to Alaska in the first place.
Well, and it begs the question, too, that even if they wanted to do something about it, okay, how would they fund it? Are we going to continue to borrow and borrow and borrow and try to make this debt gets bigger and bigger, and your cost of living goes up and up, and your ability to meet your cost of living goes down and down? And, you know, what if we had a world where people in the warm parts of the country or the world had started getting cooler and cooler, and they needed to have warm houses. You know, how would they afford to build those warm houses? And vice versa, the people that live in the cold areas, it got hotter and hotter. How would they afford to change their living? Just like now, how do we afford to do that? And it's not working for everybody. they're building these big apartment complexes, jamming everybody in them like sardines, and and so as things change, whether it be the environment or legal or social arenas, how are we going to continue to afford what we need? How are we going to do that with a debt money system?
Well, let's talk about something else too here just for a second, and I don't want to keep the show going forever, but this island that's just been totally destroyed by the last big storm, well, where's all the money going to come from to rebuild all that stuff that's been destroyed?
Sure.
Well, basically,
where's all that money going to come from?
It's going to come from the same place all the rest of the money comes from. It's going to be borrowed money. Somebody borrowed it, taxed it away from them, or whatever, but it's just going to get paid for with loan principal.
So now what are these people going to put up for collateral when everything they had was completely destroyed? I see pictures, and it looks like there's nothing but just pieces of lumber, chunks of lumber all scattered around and piled up.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to lose for collateral to rebuild?
They probably won't need collateral themselves, because they'll probably get the money from a government program, or you and I will pay for it, or something like that. Or maybe their governments will borrow more money just like ours does. The very government has the authority to create money, borrows all the money. So I don't know. Maybe they won't rebuild it. Maybe they'll decide maybe this ain't such a great place to live after all.
I have no concept.
What was that, Rob?
These are things that I think more people ought to talk about, and just instead of just showing us how this all destroyed. And if it gets destroyed that way, shouldn't they think about building it in a different manner when they rebuild it, so it will maintain those kind of storms instead of just be all destroyed by the next storm that comes by?
Yep. You're right. Roll, what do
okay,
you think
well,
we get out of here? You got a finishing comment, Roll?
Well, I'm just going to say, in a politically correct world, it's criminal to even ask questions such as that, like how are you going to pay for it?
Apparently it is, because the people I hear that from the far left liberals, they don't seem to ever discuss where the money's going to come from. They're just going to say they're going to have a lot of it to do it. But
this
I never hear them talk about where
much.
It's actually going to come from.
They want a lot, but hopefully they won't get too much.
Well, I hope they don't get anything, actually. I mean, because it's clear treason to the country if you really look at it in a real, realistic manner and listen to what they said. It's clearly treason. If Bernie Sanders, and that's what he said, I just read it this morning on the computer, I'm starting a big movement that will completely change our world, or at least in this country. Well, wait a minute. That has to be a violation of the Constitution in any way, every way, shape, or form. That has to be treason right from his mouth.
Well, isn't that kind of the sort of words and attitude that Adolf Hitler took? And look at how we responded to that.
I have no idea. I'm not an expert on what Hitler did.
Well,
and,
didn't he want to change the world? Like Bernie, he wanted
well,
to change
the world. I don't know. He clearly was going to change the country he lived in. I've never spent a lot of time checking about that. But I recently had a guy tell me, that was what happened in Germany. They had too much money. And so I asked him, well, wait a minute. If you got too much money that you don't know what to do with it and you take a barrel of it to buy things, well, why in the world would you keep raising your prices to get more?
Yep. Amen. Yep.
And I used to think about that, and then I, with the help of a friend who found out that actually in Germany at that time, the problem was they started with 6% interest and went up to 90%, 900% interest. Now, you don't think 900% interest wouldn't cost you a tremendous lot of, you'd have to raise your prices like a son of a gun to keep up with that interest debt, wouldn't you?
Yep, and so what it really was is a shortage of money, right, Byron? It wasn't that they had too much, they had a shortage.
Well, apparently, I don't know. I mean, again, that question
is... Well, didn't they do that
Who was borrowing all the money at 900% interest?
Well, didn't they do that in Zimbabwe or someplace a while back? I forget the name of that country.
Yeah, they did.
Country.
The interest wasn't that high, though.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing happens when they start raising the interest. And, of course, obviously, you get in more financial trouble than you were before. There's no question about that. That can wipe out any country if you raise the debt enough and then don't, especially if you don't raise the money supply that much.
Yeah.
And that's what they did to the farmers in the 80s. They clearly raised the interest rate, but didn't raise, said, well, we can't loan you that much money because now you can't be based on what you have, what your total value of your farm is. You've got to be based on cash flow. Well, it's obvious that nobody could all of a sudden have cash flow. They couldn't, they hardly had cash flow enough when interest was 9%. How in the world would you have be able to have cash flow when the interest went up to 22%? And he just wiped them all out. I mean, I lived there. I was living there in the agriculture system at the time I had it. That's really how I got into the whole money thing in the first place, was asking questions how all that happens. And with that, we'll close for the day. And I want to thank everybody for listening, and I hope that we will take this to heart and really think about the real consequences of having a debt-based money, especially an interest-bearing debt-based money. And we need to do something about it, and we can't just keep doing the same thing and expect to have different consequences. That just doesn't work. And with that, I thank everybody, and thank Rule for being on the show, and Greg and I both enjoy having him on the show. And with that, we'll close for the day.
Byron and Greg want to thank you for listening to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Please visit our website at wealthmoney.org. We would appreciate your support by purchasing the books and materials. Don't just purchase the books, but study the information we have presented and tell others the truth of our debt-based system, the problems interest causes, and the slavery it promotes. Thank you for your support.